Aren't you thankful this evening for the day that Jesus called you out, the day that you got saved? Now, I don't know about you, but I think that might be my favorite group. I'm thankful for the music that we have here as a church and the emphasis and the effort that's put into it. Let's open our Bibles this evening to Luke chapter 23, if you would please. Luke chapter 23. What a wonderful message we heard this morning. What a help when it comes to being overwhelmed and desolate. Of course, always an honor to be able to preach while Pastor is away. I certainly don't take that lightly, and I'm thankful for the opportunity. I want to be a help tonight. I want to be an encouragement, because there are times we all feel overwhelmed and oppressed. We face the opinions of this world. Sometimes things are out of our control, and there aren't any good options. But what I want to do is I want to take us to the cross. I want to take us to the one who holds our world together. I want to take us to the one who keeps us steadfast when our world is shaken. Because it is at the cross we find the one who made all the difference in our life. It's at the cross we find God's love on display, a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. It's at the cross we find mercy. We find liberty in Christ. In Luke chapter 23, we find ourselves at the crucifixion. We'll begin reading in verse 33. The Bible says, "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. He said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. There is a narrative here that I do not want us to miss. It's what they use to mock our Savior. And Christ's response to the critics is found in a conversion. I want to draw our attention back to verse 35, where we find these rulers, the religious but lost, those who had tradition but no transformation. And the Bible says, there they derided him. That word derided means they mocked. They sat in the seat of the scornful, and with contempt in their heart, they laughed. And they cried out, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. But my friends, I'm afraid they missed the point. Jesus didn't come to save himself. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to save a wretch like me. And aren't you thankful this evening for his mercy? Aren't you thankful that his grace is sufficient, that his love is long-suffering, and that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance, that he would bear our sins on the cross and pay our debt. And just like that thief on the cross, the moment we called upon the name of the Lord and not just acknowledged him, but accepted him, just like he told that sinner, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. There was a day when Jesus said, today your sins are forgiven. Today your name can be found in the Lamb's book of life. And just as it was true for that sinner on that day, it is true for sinners today. Right. Oh, they laughed and they mocked and they ridiculed our Savior. But let me tell you something. Despite all of that, They could not help but declare the truth and the very purpose he was there. Jesus came to save. And for a few moments tonight, I want to preach on that thought. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that you would work in our midst. Lord, I do not know who is and who is not saved here tonight. We can go off of testimony, but I don't know who's just going through the motions. But Lord, perhaps there's someone here carrying a heavy burden. They've not shared it with anybody, but they've shared it with you. They're struggling. Lord, I pray that by the end of the service tonight, they'd know that you've given them the power to overcome and that you've not forsaken them, that you see them and you're that ever-present help in their time of need. Would you help us tonight, Lord? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of my favorite stories that describes the love of God and the heart of God is a story that Lee Robertson, a faithful preacher of yesteryear, once wrote about. He wrote about an urban legend of a priest who had obtained the crown of thorns that once sat on Jesus' head. He displayed it in his church, and people would come and they would look upon its cruel appearance, too cruel to display, some thought. And one day he sought out to replace the crown of thorns with a display of lilies, and so he went off to the market. But when he came back, something was different. There was a sweetness that had filled the air. And where the crown of thorns once sat was now a bed of roses. And as he got closer, he noticed that the crown of thorns had not been replaced, but that it had blossomed. What was once a picture of death was now a picture of life. And though it is just a story, its truth is real and relevant, and it teaches us the difference that Christ makes. Oh, you think of the cross, what man meant to be an act of cruelty, God used to be an act of compassion. He took their mockery and he turned it into a message. He took our sin and he offered salvation. He took our failure and he offered victory. Despite our rebellion, he offered redemption. In man's darkest hour, he showed us the light. Because our God is a God that has a heart for others. If he be the Christ, the chosen of God, let him save himself. Oh no, he came to save others. And despite the weakness of our flesh and the sin that so easily besets us and the world's attempt to lure us and the devil's desire to deceive us, despite every effort to keep us captive to sin, Christ gives freedom. Freedom from the penalty of sin. Freedom from the power of sin. Freedom from the presence of sin. Freedom that lasts. And with all that we are endeavoring to do, let this remind us of his mission. Let this focus our vision, because that is the heart that can bring about transformation. That is the compassion that can make a difference. And with the Lord's help, that is the difference that we can make by sharing the message of the cross, by declaring his purpose, that Jesus came to save. We see this in the life of the thief on the cross. He came to know these three truths. Number one, Jesus came to save you from the penalty of sin. Notice verse 42. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. One has to ask. One has to wonder. What happened? Not so long ago, he was mocking Christ. We find this in the gospel accounts of Matthew and Mark. But now he is calling upon the name of the Lord for salvation. Perhaps as the weight of death began to rest upon his shoulders and his life was flashing before his eyes, perhaps he remembers growing up in a Jewish home, a mom or a dad or a grandparent talking about the coming Messiah. Maybe he got away from God and made some poor decisions, and maybe he blamed God for life not turning out the way that he wanted. Maybe he was just frustrated with life, thinking, how could God love him? How could God forgive me? Perhaps he thought it was too late. Perhaps he thought he didn't have anything to offer, and he got around the wrong crowd, and now he is face to face with eternity. But maybe as he thinks back to growing up in Galilee, he remembers attending a wedding or heard the story of Jesus turning the water into wine. Maybe he was there at the feeding of the 5,000 when a lad gave Jesus what little he had. Perhaps eating in disbelief, he heard someone say, little is much when God is in it. Maybe in the travels around the Sea of Galilee one day, he was walking in the streets of Gadara when a man clothed and in his right mind went around telling people about the difference that God had made in his life. And let me just say, that is exactly why we must never take for granted the influence that God has given us. It might seem small to you, and you might be thinking it's just a tract. It's just an invitation to church. It's just a flyer for the Spanish ministry. It's just a spring program. But oh no, it is so much more than that. It's about the difference that Christ can make in their life. Your voice, your influence, your example matters. Don't hide your Christianity. Let it shine. Oh, and I know, you thought you were playing golf, but God had a plan for the gospel. And now a life has changed. And we might not know this side of eternity, but someday in the Carolinas, there might be a young man reading his Bible, and someone comes walking by and asks, what is all that about? And he says, let me tell you a story. I once was lost, but I am found. I don't know what was going through the mind of the thief on the cross, but maybe he was walking by the Jordan River and he saw a crowd gather together only to see John the Baptist point to Jesus and say, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. But one thing we do know is at the cross, he knew how they treated Jesus. He watched and he heard and he participated. But when he heard those words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, those life-breathing words broke through the hardness of his heart. And in that moment, he knew he was a sinner. In that moment, he knew he was headed to a place called hell. And in that moment, he knew he needed a Savior. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Only Jesus had the power to save him from his sins. Amen. Can I tell you what he saw on the cross that day? He saw mercy. He saw a love that was unconditional. He saw the heart of God. He saw his Redeemer. He saw Jesus, his King. Can I ask tonight, do you know him as your personal Savior? If a Jewish boy can grow up lost in the land of the Bible, doubting God, doubting the prophets, living like the prodigal, it can happen growing up in a Christian nation. It can happen growing up in a Christian home. Oh, if you're here and you're just going through the motions, but there's never been an honest moment where you've put your faith and trust in Jesus, I plead with you, get that settled before you leave here tonight. Don't let your pride get in the way. Don't let the crowd dictate your actions. Jesus came to save you from the penalty of your sin, and just like that thief, all you have to do is call upon the name of the Lord, and thou shalt be saved. Today can be the day of your salvation. Jesus came to save you from the penalty of your sin. But number two, Jesus came to save you from the power of sin. Notice verse 39 and 40. The Bible says, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? This is such an interesting contrast. In Mark 15, the Bible says they both initially reviled the Lord. They railed on him, which is to say that they spoke to him and about him with contempt and anger in their heart. They used harsh and abusive language with the intent to bring him shame and dishonor. But now there is a change of heart. And there is a question asked from one sinner to another sinner. Dost not thou fear God? In verse 42, notice what he says. These words are not by accident. He says, Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Please understand, Jesus not only saved him, but Jesus made a difference in his life. He may not have had the opportunity to clean up his life. He may not have had the opportunity to right some wrongs, but his example teaches us what Christ can do in our life. This was a changed man. It's seen in his behavior. It's seen in his speech. If I could say it this way, sin no longer had power over his life. He was no longer yielding to his flesh. The one who went along with the crowd was no longer controlled by the crowd. Their opinion, their philosophy, their pressure, their influence no longer had power. This speaks of the work of God in us. The work of the Holy Spirit that empowers us and enables us to overcome. You see, the ultimate question for the Christian tonight is not who is more powerful, Christ or the crowd, the Holy Spirit or sin. That's obvious. The Holy Spirit of God. God saved you from the penalty of sin, and God can save you from the power of sin. But the question now that you're saved is really about a choice. Who are you going to give the power to now? Are you yielding to yourself? Are you yielding to your flesh? Are you yielding to this world? Are you yielding to the devil? Or are you yielding to the Holy Spirit of God? You see, when we give power to sin, when we plug into the wrong thing and plug into the wrong power source, the wrong crowd, it has a way of distracting us. It has a way of discouraging us. It has a way of reminding us of every failure. It puts doubt in your mind. How could God use me? It leads you down the wrong road. It keeps us captive and ineffective because it wants to control us. And it wants to keep us from growing in our walk with the Lord. But now that you're saved, when you give power to God, when you plug into His Word, when you tap into the power of prayer, when you yield to His Spirit, you see the fullness of God in your life. In your moment of weakness, God gives you strength, not because you're perfect, not because you're sinless, but because of who you gave the power to, because of who enables you. Young people, be careful about who you give the power to. College students, be careful about who you give the power to. Don't give it to that worldly coworker. Don't give it to that social media influencer. Give it to God. Let me tell you, this is why our ministries are so important. This is why Christian education is so important, because it's about who you're going to give the power to when it comes to your children's lives. God or the government? I'll take God. This is why 12 stones of freedom is so important, because there's a devil that wants to remind you of every failure. And if he doesn't do it, we do a good job of reminding ourselves. But let me tell you this evening, your past is not your identity. Your failure is not your identity. Your identity is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And just like the thief on the cross, you're not what you used to be, but in Christ, you are a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You have a new name written down in glory. You have a new purpose, a new destination, and you have the power to choose to live the sanctified life. That addiction might have power over you. That sin might have power over you. But child of God, I have news for you. Jesus didn't come to just save you from the penalty of sin. He came to save you from the power of it. You might be discouraged tonight. You might be disappointed in yourself. You might have failed, but don't give up, because God has not given up on you. You have the power to overcome. Young people, don't let the devil deceive you. God's plan is the best plan. You don't have to give in to the crowd. You don't have to give in to that sin. You just need to give in to Jesus. Remember that when the devil says you can't. Remember that when the crowd says you can't. Remember that when they say, remember what you used to be. Remember that when you begin to doubt. Remember that when you begin to think about all of your faults. God says you can, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And when the devil says you're finished, when the world says you have no value, remember, the world does not establish your value. God's blood does that. And God says his every drop of blood, you are worth it. Let me tell you, there's power in that blood. The thief on the cross did not try to cover up his Christianity, or try to conceal his conversion in hopes that the crowd would spare him. He saw where giving that kind of power got him. But he had a choice. And in that moment, he became more than a thief on the cross. He became a testament to Christ. The power of the Holy Spirit, a pickpocket, became a preacher. Let me ask, who are you giving the power to tonight? Only Christ can change the narrative. Third and finally, Jesus came to save you from the presence of sin. Notice verse 43. Jesus said unto him, verily, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. I want you to consider what's to come. I'm thankful for justification, don't get me wrong. I'm thankful that God empowers us to live the sanctified life, but church, we've got something more to look forward to. I want you to think about what happened the moment this thief walked into paradise. Nobody asked him for a doctrinal statement. Nobody asked about his church affiliation. Nobody asked about his occupation or his past. Nobody asked about his Bible knowledge. Nobody asked, how did you get here? And if anybody were to do that, I imagine he'd just look over at Jesus and say, I'm with him. Think about what Satan tried to do. Satan tried to corrupt the soul, but God saved it. Satan tried to defile the mind, but God delivered it. Satan tried to destroy the testimony of the man, but God redefined it. We know him as the thief on the cross, but heaven knows him as the man who walked into paradise with the Son of God. Who is that, one might ask? I think that is a friend of Jesus. In that glorified state, he no longer had the temptation to steal. In that glorified state, he no longer felt the struggles of life. In that glorifying state, he no longer felt the pain of the cross. Let me tell you, church, Jesus didn't just come to save him from the penalty of sin and the power of it, but from the very presence of it. Amen. And church, I have news for you. One day, Jesus is coming back. And he's going to take us to a place far greater than we can ever imagine, a place where the lame walk and the blind see, a place where stories of the lives we've read about will come alive, a place where relationships are restored, a place where we all have one thing in common, Jesus. And in that place, there'll be no heartache, there'll be no hurt feelings, there'll be no sad goodbyes, there'll be no misunderstandings, there'll be no wars or rumors of wars, there'll be no political turmoil, there'll be no disagreements or dividing lines, there'll be no bills or late payments, no sorrow, no sickness, there'll be no wheelchairs, no need for medication, the worries of life will be no more. Our burdens that we carry today will be no more. Our doubts will be no more, because there'll be no sin there. And because there's no sin, we will not have to deal with the effects of it. The struggles will no longer have to face. The shame will no longer have to carry. In conclusion, I want us to think for just a moment about the vision that God has given our pastor. I want us to think about the vision that God has given us as a church. And I want you to think about all of our ministries, Galatians 6:1, restoring those that have fallen, the launch of our Spanish ministry. We saw that gentleman who got saved, got baptized this morning. God's already at work. Camp New Beginnings, our investment in the next generation. Our children are one day going to have children. And if we don't start preparing the next generation now, we might lose a generation. And there has to be a church, there has to be a people that are willing to invest in the next generation because they're worth it. Amen. The Preacher's Delight Conference and the impact that we're having. Mission Aviation and the Great Commission. And the stories we're hearing about what God is doing through these initiatives, souls being saved and churches being recharged. And if you just don't know, just get in a plane with Brother Ross and your prayer life will be magnified. I promise you, God will be at work. 12 Stones, the Amanda Ranch, binding the brokenhearted, helping those through the trials of life. What we are trying to do through Christian education, raising another generation for the Lord, giving them that sure foundation. And by the way, that is why young people, you should not take for granted the investment of those that have come before you and your parents' sacrifice. And that is why you college students need to stop playing games and get serious about the work of God. Yeah. Giving them that sure foundation. And all that God is doing through Berean Publications. Can I tell you what all these things have in common? Others. We want to see people saved. We want to see people helped. But that only happens if we have the right heart. Could I say tonight, that only happens if we have the heart of God. We only have one life to live. We only have one life to give. Can we give it to God so others can be helped? Dr. Jack Hiles once read a poem from the founder of Salvation Army, General Booth, and it goes like this: Lord, let me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be. Help me to live for others that I may live like thee. Oh, on the cross that day, they mocked and they ridiculed and they criticized and they railed on our Savior. But there was one truth that even they could not deny. He saved others. If you're saved and you have the Holy Spirit of God living within you and working daily in your life, you know what Christ has done for you. Tonight, can we recommit ourselves to the power of the gospel? Can we decide that we're going to go into the spring program with a purpose to see lives helped and restored and transformed? Because if there's one thing that we know this: Jesus came to save. Heavenly Father,